From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, July 11th. Coming up, state lawmakers calling for a partial ban on carbon sequestration over concerns that it could contaminate drinking water in important resources like the Mahomet Aquifer. But some scientists say those risks are minimal. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Residents of Mattoon are being told not to drink or cook with their tap water until further notice. The reason is a harmful algal bloom spreading toxins in the water supply. The warning comes from the Mattoon Water Treatment Plant and the Coles County Health Department. They say toxic microcystins have been found in the city water supply, which is drawn from two reservoirs. The microcystins are the product of an algal bloom, which is the rapid expansion of algae in water systems. In a statement, the city officials said the tainted water cannot be made safe by boiling or adding chlorine to it. Instead, they say residents should only use bottled water for drinking, food preparation, and even brushing teeth and washing dishes. Authorities also advise against swimming in Lake Mattoon, one of the city's reservoirs. The city says it will inform the public when testing shows that the Mattoon water supply is safe to use. People lined the streets of Champaign and Urbana last night to show support for those hurt by federal policies under the Trump administration. IPM's Stephanie Mosqueda has more.
People attending the Be the Light rally held signs and lanterns along Florida and Kirby Avenues. Tracy Dugan is one of the event's organizers with Champaign County Indivisible, which is part of a statewide network of progressive groups in Illinois. She says the goal was to remind people that collective action can lead to change.
We are all together, and I firmly believe that if enough people stand together and stand up against the injustices that are coming out of our White House every single day, at some point, we will win.
The group says it plans to continue holding rallies until the chain of people stretches between Hazel Park in Champaign and Blair Park in Urbana. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda, IPM News.
A 15-year-old is in serious condition after being injured in a shooting incident in Danville. The victim was taken to the OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center late Wednesday night in a personal vehicle. The Danville Police Department has limited information about the incident and did not share the person's gender. They did say the shooting occurred in the area around Main and Plum Streets. The incident comes after 18-year-old Anaya Davis was killed and two other juveniles were injured in a shooting in Danville late last month. Chicago immigrant rights advocates say they're worried about federal authorities casing the area around the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. Museum staff say earlier this week about 15 vehicles filled with agents entered the parking lot and refused to leave when asked. No one was detained. Veronica Ocasio is the museum's programming director, and she called the incident a scare tactic.
We will not take it. Absolutely not. We will never allow people to be kidnapped, intimidated, bullied. I'm sorry. It was horrible what happened yesterday.
The museum is hosting two large festivals soon. Homeland Security denies targeting anyone and says they were hosting a quick briefing in the parking lot. Still to come, state lawmakers are calling for a partial ban on carbon sequestration over concerns that it could contaminate drinking water in important resources like the Mahomet Aquifer. But some scientists say those risks are minimal. That story is coming up next on 2 and 7 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 92 degrees and a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a low of 72 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 88 degrees, southwest wind 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 69 degrees, west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 86 degrees, and a northwest wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, an hour in Danville, Illinois. Like many downstate communities, there's been an exodus of young people. We'll talk about how that's affected the city, what drives some to leave, and why others choose to stay. Plus, weather permitting, the local celebration of hot air balloons. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Illinois lawmakers approved a bill this year that bans carbon sequestration under sole source aquifers in the state. Governor J.B. Pritzker has yet to act on the bill, but some scientists say it's a necessary tool for tackling climate change. That's because carbon dioxide makes up nearly 80% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. As IPM's Sam Rink reports, regardless of what happens with the bill, the debate over carbon sequestration isn't going away.
Carbon sequestration is the process where carbon dioxide is captured, compressed, and injected into absorbent rock layers deep underground. In Illinois, a prime location for this is under the Mahomet Aquifer, which also happens to be the main source of water for over 800,000 people stretching from Iroquois County to Cass County. And that concerns Democratic State Representative Carol Ammons.
It's about our community being able to turn a water faucet on and drink water from that tap that is not contaminated with any toxins whatsoever.
But many experts who've spoken to lawmakers insist the practice is safe. Randy Locke is the chief scientist for research and development with the Illinois State Geological Survey. The organization provides information about geology and natural resources for the public and legislators.
So storage is occurring over a mile underground, and the local water sources are less than 200 to 500 feet from the land surface.
The Mahomet Aquifer is thousands of feet above the rock formations where CO2 would be injected, and the layers of rock separating the two include a thick layer of cap rock, which is sometimes referred to as a seal. Locke says that would prevent the gas from reaching shallow aquifers.
So there's a distinct separation between where potable water occurs and where the storage is occurring.
As for the injection wells that are bored through an aquifer, those are surrounded by multiple layers of steel and concrete to prevent contamination. But carbon sequestration isn't a perfect solution. Andrew Rain is the director of climate policy at the Illinois-based Prairie Rivers Network.
You could have chemical constituents that are stable in the pH ranges that you're seeing now, and that if CO2 were to leak, those could start leaching pollutants.
He says there are growing questions about the safety of carbon sequestration after two leaks occurred in an Archer Daniels Midland facility in Decatur last year. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, equipment malfunctions there caused carbon dioxide and brine to leak, violating the company's injection permit. But the leaks occurred so far below ground, they did not impact drinkable water. And the Decatur site is several miles outside the boundaries of the Mahomet Aquifer. So, how likely is it that the aquifer could be contaminated by a CO2 leak?
I was very worried about water back when I started.
That's Susan Havorka. She's a senior research scientist at the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin.
And I have, through experience, convinced myself that the risk to water is negligible, truly negligible.
Her research has shown that while a leak could cause toxic metals to be released, the impacts are often minimal. She also says each well requires site-specific testing and risk assessment as part of the permitting process to construct the wells and inject CO2. Despite this, Rain says leaks are still cause for concern.
The reality is that when you're doing something so big, failure points that you didn't expect are going to show up.
But Havorka warns against writing off the technology entirely.
The impact to the aquifer from uncontrolled climate change is much more severe. Because it's a near-surface, valley-filled aquifer, so if there's episodes of drying or flooding, or any kind of changes in climate are serious risks to the aquifer.
The use of carbon sequestration is expanding on a large commercial scale, and several projects have already been proposed in central Illinois, including some under the Mahomet Aquifer. For Randy Locke, the continuing research and development of carbon sequestration technology is a good thing. He compares it to the risks of driving a car.
There are things in our daily lives that we accept as things that are commonplace, but they do actually carry risk. The things that have happened with evolution of well design, changing of the wells, all of those things help make future projects safer
24 well applications are currently under review by the EPA in Illinois. And while it's uncertain what Governor J.B. Pritzker plans to do with the bill banning carbon sequestration, some lawmakers say they have the numbers to override a potential veto. I'm Sam Rink, IPM News.
That's it for today. 2 & 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Stephanie Mosqueda, Arjun Tucker, Mawa Iqbal, and Sam Rink. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 & 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.